Jump through fourth grade, maybe dismissed for junior church. This morning we're going to be out of Luke chapter 1, deviate from Acts for the next couple weeks here. We'll look at Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 5. Luke chapter 1, verse 5, read to verse 25. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the Spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." The people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months, she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God, for the fulfillment of prophecy, that your Word can be trusted with absolute assurance. We have no reason to doubt. But we're so thankful that when we are unfaithful, when we do not believe, when we do not trust, you remain faithful to us. We thank you for your Son becoming God with us, Emmanuel. Thank you for this time of year that we put special emphasis on the birth of our Savior. We pray if there's anyone here that's never had Christ born in their heart, they've never trusted in Christ for forgiveness of sin. I pray that today would be their day of salvation. Father, we also pray for every believer here this morning. I pray that you would encourage them with the Word of God, that you would increase their faith in the Word of God, that they would continue to trust in you and not their own feelings and not their circumstances, but that we would trust in you through all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Has anybody here ever been the giver or receiver of the silent treatment? Come on. Come on. It might have only lasted a few hours, but maybe it lasted a day, maybe a week. Maybe there are some people in your life that you have given the silent treatment to them for an extended period of time. Maybe a relative that you have refused to talk to for a long time. We see here, silence. For approximately 400 years, silence from God. From the ending of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, until we hear from God again, is approximately 400 years of no prophetic word. Silence. Now put your place, imagine yourself as an Israelite. They regularly heard from God in different ways through the prophets. And then not to hear from God through a prophetic word that we know of, at least it wasn't part of the written word of God, for 400 years is a long time. It was indeed a dark day for the nation of Israel. Many of the spiritual leaders during this time period, they were shackled by traditions. In some instances, they were even involved in corruption. It wasn't a great time period for the nation of Israel. But even during dark days, God always has His devoted and obedient people. And two of them that we find in our passage this morning is Zechariah and Elizabeth. A godly couple. They were obedient. They walked blamelessly, as verse 6 says, in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. They were faithful to God. Zechariah was part of the priesthood. And each priest served in the temple 2 weeks out of the year. The priests were divided in 24 courses. 1 Chronicles 24. And then they were then called upon to serve 2 years in the temple. Now by lot, verse 8, now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Now this was a very high privilege. In fact, if your name was drawn by lot to enter into the holy place. Now, this isn't the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was. And at time periods, the Shekinah glory of God dwelt. There's no evidence that during this time, the Shekinah glory of God was dwelling above the Ark of the Covenant. We see the departure of the Shekinah glory in the book of Ezekiel. But the holy place, before you go through the curtain, the priests could go into, and they were commanded to, and to offer incense twice a day, the morning and then the evening sacrifice. But when your name was drawn by lot as a priest to perform this holy privilege, once your name was drawn and you performed this, that was it. It was a one time that you would perform this in your lifetime. So I can imagine when Zechariah's name was drawn by lot to do this, how excited he would have been. But also somewhat fearful of never having done it before, going into God's holy temple. Now the high priest, once a year on the Day of Atonement, would enter into the Holy of Holies. But that was only the duty of the high priest, and that was once a year. So this is the holy place. You have the altar of incense, and the job was to burn incense. So verse 10, the whole multitude of the people were praying outside the hour of incense, and there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Now, I assure you, when Zechariah, his name was drawn, he's thinking, okay, I don't want to mess this up. I want to do this right. I've been trained for this. This is my one shot to do this. I want to give God the glory. So I'm sure he's praying, and when it's his time to go off of the altar to offer the incense, I'm sure he was not expecting an angel to be there. You can imagine. Most likely, this is the first time Zechariah has ever seen an angel. How fearful his heart became. And what's going through his mind, I mean, man, I must have really messed something up. For God to show up out of the blue with an angel sent from God to show up out of the blue standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Just imagine, put yourself in his shoes. This is a one-time event. You're allowed to go into the holy place to perform your duty, and then an angel appears. Well, you can imagine and sympathize that he would be afraid. I mean, potentially this angel's appearance could have meant divine judgment. He didn't know why he appeared. But the angel said to him in verse 13, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah." You know, the most repeated command in Scripture is do not be afraid or do not be discouraged. And that's not by accident. Because as human beings, we are prone to give in to fear, trepidation. And we're most likely to do that when we are trusting in ourselves and not trusting in the Lord. Because when we are truly putting our faith in our foundation, Jesus Christ, and we are trusting in Him, and we are trusting in His Word, the Word of God that never fails, that never lets us down, the same God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, when we are trusting in Him, oh, that alleviates the fear. It does it every time. I'm not saying when you audibly say, I'm trusting in God through this, I'm trusting in God through this trial. But when you are really giving your heart over to God during that time period, and you say, God, you see everything I'm going through, and I'm going to trust you through this. I'm giving it to you. You will experience His peace. Because you're trusting in Him, in His Word. And God is the God of peace. We can understand Zechariah's fear here. Then God, through the angel, said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard." What prayer is the angel talking about? Zechariah, Elizabeth, godly couple. A bright light shining in the midst of a dark period for the nation of Israel. They were faithful to God. And they love God. But as verse 7 tells us, they had no child. They had no child. They were Elizabeth was barren. So we can only imagine how often Zechariah and Elizabeth just pleaded before God for a child. Well, now they're up in the years. We don't know when they stopped praying for this. But now, at a time period when it's going to take God's intervention, miraculously, the angel tells Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Zechariah, I can imagine what was going through his mind and his heart. We know that this faithful priest, who became this fearful priest, as we continue in our text, we do see a faithless priest as well, of unbelief. See, God clearly tells him here in a miraculous way, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. And maybe he's saying, well, what prayer? Which time? We've been praying for a child for years. And now my wife is old? It's too late. What are you talking about? See, did Zechariah forget about Abraham and Sarah? Did Zechariah forget about that this God, there's nothing impossible with him? Did Zechariah forget all the miracles that this God that they faithfully trusted for years has performed on the behalf of them and their nation? With this moment, Zechariah caught up in fear. And then the angel says, don't be afraid. Your prayer has been answered. Verse 14, you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink. So he's going to be a Nazarite for his whole life, and he will be filled with the Spirit even from his mother's womb. That's a miracle from God. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. So not only, Zechariah, Elizabeth, has your prayer been answered. I know you've been praying for many years, and now you think it's past God's ability to make Elizabeth pregnant. But not only are you going to bear a son, but he is going to be the fulfillment of prophecy that Malachi talked about. He's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. Not a priest, but a prophet. The silence will finally be broken. And your son is chosen to break that silence of the prophetic word. I mean, wow. What a day for Zechariah. His name's drawn by lot. He's excited. He gets to perform this one-in-a-lifetime responsibility of going into to the holy place to burn incense. And now he's told by an angel of the Lord that he will have a son, and his son is chosen to be the forerunner of Christ, prophesied, fulfilled. Does he jump up and praise God with joy? No. Verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? Now, we understand that God sees the hearts of man. Because you read this, oh, that's just the question. What's wrong with this question? I mean, Mary asked a similar question, you know, how will this be when the angel comes to her and says, hey, you're going to become pregnant. And she's like, well, I'm a virgin. How's this going to be? Well, God sees the heart, and God understands that Zechariah is demonstrating a lack of faith. He's demonstrated unbelief in his heart, and he's going to be judged for it. He says, for I am an old man. My wife is advanced in years. I mean, he's not believing it. He's not buying it. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. Only three angels in Scripture that we know their names of. Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Lucifer, fallen, becomes the devil or Satan. So Gabriel, I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because, here it is, you did not believe my words. Unbelief. Which will be fulfilled in their time. See, Zechariah was really questioning God's ability to fulfill his own word. He was demonstrating a lack of faith here. Now, before you judge Zechariah in your heart and him, think about your own life. How many times that you failed to trust in God? Maybe it was during a difficult time. Maybe it was during a great time in your life that you weren't trusting in God in that moment. You were trusting in yourself, in your feelings, in your emotions, in your circumstances, anything, but you were putting your trust in God and His Word. We all go through periods of times where we demonstrate a lack of faith, unbelief. Well, maybe you've prayed. Like Zechariah and Elizabeth, you prayed for years for something, maybe less. And God fulfilled it, and you were surprised that it actually happened. When you had been praying for it faithfully for a very long time, and God finally fulfilled it, and you were like, well, how did this happen? Matthew 21:22 says, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Unfortunately, that verse is taken out of context and misapplied. I think you need to combine it with 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. So it needs to be in the will of God. We need to be praying, though, expecting God to do something. And when He answers that prayer, we need to, and opens doors, we need to walk through them. Praying in faith is simply knowing God and knowing what He is capable of doing. God doesn't have to answer our prayers the way we pray them, and He doesn't have to say yes. But we can have the confidence as we pray in faith that we know that God is able to do this, that God is able to perform this. And I think many times we're not expecting God to do anything. We might pray because okay, God, I know you called me to pray. I'm going to pray for so-and-so. I know they're not saved. I've been praying for them for years, but I'm going to continue to pray. But we're not really expecting anything to happen. I think we all have been in that boat at one time in our life. And maybe Zechariah and Elizabeth stopped praying for a son at this time. Understandably. I mean, she's She's past the normal age of being able to bear a child. God had other plans. So we go from a faithful priest to a fearful priest to a faithless priest to a favored priest. Verse 23. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." I mean, we can only imagine the times of praise and rejoicing Zechariah and Elizabeth shared, but they kept it to themselves. Now go to verse 57, where the story continues. Luke 1:57. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the 8th day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." You better believe it was. Zechariah was not going to mess this up. Okay, for 9 months now, he's been mute, unable to speak. I'm sure he remembered every word that the angel told him. I'm sure it went over in his mind several times. And the angel said, "You will call him John," which was unusual because it was common to either call it after the father's name or another relative. And the angel said, "No, you call him John." You know what John means? The Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious. So he said, "I'm not going to mess this up. His name is John." And they all wondered. But immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God, and fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." So the people saw this miracle. I mean, it's apparent Zechariah was mute. They didn't know what happened in that temple, but it wasn't good because he came out. He couldn't talk. I could imagine the next priest on duty to give that incense. What was going through his mind, you know, is he's like just slowly, you know, hoping that everything's okay. Well, Zechariah, being obedient, he learned his lesson. He was obedient to what his name would be called, and as soon as he wrote it down, he could speak again. Now I want to read Zechariah's hymn of praise, if you will. It's so rich, and you'll see that in this hymn of praise, he mentions his son, but he mainly is talking about his Savior, his Messiah. Let's read this together. Luke 1, verse 67. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of the servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew, became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. We all know John was a little different. But it was prophesied he'd be a little different. But he was set apart by God. We know that's not really the emphasis in Zechariah's prophecy, is it? Oh, what a rich prophecy. The word redeemed in verse 68, it means to set free by paying a price. For he has visited Emmanuel, God with us. From the very beginning, Zechariah understood this. The prophets of old preached it. The Messiah would come, God with us. Why? To save us from our sins, to redeem us. I'm so thankful that Jesus did not remain a baby. He grew up. And then he died for our sins. He redeemed us. He paid the price. We see the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant is what's referred to in verse 73. The oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us. He does speak of his son John in verse 76. And you, child, talking about his son, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. But Zechariah even understood that John, it was his job to present the Savior to the world. He was praising God. God was sending his son. See, Mary had already visited them. So they understood this. To give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. That is truly what Christmas is all about. Emmanuel, God with us, coming so he could be the sacrifice and then able to forgive us of our sins. I love this messianic reference in verse 78. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise, that's a reference to the Messiah, shall visit us, God with us, from on high. Malachi chapter 4 verse 2 says, but for you who fear my name, the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. It's a messianic term. Talking about Christ. The sun shall visit us. The sun of righteousness, God with us. And what's the purpose? Verse 79, to give light to those who sit in darkness. To give light to those who sit in darkness. Remind yourself this Christmas season that your lost loved ones, your lost friends, your next door neighbor, your coworker, if they're not in Christ, They are sitting consumed in darkness. Tell them about the one who can give light into darkness, who can forgive them of their sin. That's really what Christmas is all about. God with us. Light penetrating darkness. Righteousness, unrighteousness. If you're here this morning and you've never been set free from your sin, you've never been redeemed, you need to understand that Christ came. It's a wonderful time of year that we put extra emphasis on the birth of Christ, as we should. The fulfillment of prophecy. Christ coming, Emmanuel, God with us. But that young child, born of a virgin, placed in a feeding trough where the animals ate, he himself became the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. If you haven't trusted in Christ this morning, today can be your day of salvation. All heads bowed, all eyes closed.